Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, welcome to Lunchtime with Lynn. I am Lynn Hayes Freeland, and I tell you what, I've been looking forward to this hour, this conversation, all week. Only because all of a sudden in the last couple of days, and I feel like we've been talking about this issue, we've been talking about COVID-19, the coronavirus, for weeks. We have looked at it. We've looked at it from the right, from the left, up, down, inside, out, just about every angle you could think of. But the one thing we haven't really talked about was how the African American community appears to be disproportionately affected by this virus. And it became an interesting conversation because early on, social media was full of all kinds of rumors and tales and coronavirus doesn't affect African Americans. You don't have to worry about the Rona. It doesn't affect Black people. Well, guess what? Wrong, wrong, and wrong. But I'm not going to be the one to clarify all that. Our guest today, Dr. Michelle Albert, is the president of the Association of Black Cardiologists. She is also a professor in the Division of Cardiology at the University of California, San Francisco. I could spend the next hour telling you all of her titles. We'll stop right there. She joins us now on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Welcome to the conversation.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you so much for having me on your program today. I'm really excited.
So as the conversation grew, or the roar of the conversation grew in terms of the relationship or the disproportionate relationship between African Americans and the coronavirus grew, were you surprised at that conversation? Were you surprised at those numbers?
I am not surprised at all, because we have had a long history of health disparities that disproportionately affect African Americans in this country. The life expectancy for African Americans is approximately 10 years less than, for example, the life expectancy of the Asian diaspora in this country, and approximately 4 to 5 years less than whites in this country. And much of that is driven by cardiovascular disease. And we are now learning from the COVID epidemic that the pandemic, that the death rates appear to be twice as high as the population of African Americans in the places where the data is beginning to be collected. We know that there is underestimation of diagnosis for COVID, likely in our African American and other vulnerable communities. So not surprised at all.
So one of the discussions, well, two things. Let me say this. I mean, there has been a there's been an expression in the Black community for years, and that is when society gets a cold, the Black community gets the flu. And that's almost what this sounds like so many other things.
Right. Absolutely. So what is happening here is simply that the effect of the coronavirus in the context of this pandemic is amplifying what we already know about disparities based on race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic status in this country, because they're very much, tied into each other.
One of the ongoing concerns or issues nationally has been testing, the availability of testing, the ability to get tested, the ability to get insurance to pay for testing. I mean, there's just been a myriad of issues around testing. And I'm guessing because when we talk about the Black community by and large, and we talk about accessibility to medical resources, is there any indication that access to testing has been a challenge?
Well, I think access to testing has been a challenge for large swaths of the population. We certainly know of instances wherein persons who are socioeconomically advantaged, celebrities, for example, who have been able to get testing, whereas the average American citizen, you know, typically has had to go through lots of hoops, including healthcare workers, as a matter of fact, to be able to get tested, primarily because the availability of tests has been a problem. Now, in the last couple of weeks or so, because multiple entities, including many academic medical centers, have been approved to perform their own tests, the testing capability has increased. However, lots of African-American or African-American population typically are not in areas where they have easy access to institutions at times. And also folks are fearful to actually go into hospitals or go to hospitals to get tested. So people are staying home for the most part. Those are the folks who can stay home.
Indeed. We have so much more to talk about. Dr. Michelle Albert is our guest in this first hour. She is, in addition to a professor at the University of California, San Francisco, she is the president of the Association of Black Cardiologists, a national organization. And we are going to continue that conversation. We'll take a quick break, come back with much more. You're listening to Lunchtime with Lynn, and I know you're glad you're here. Stick around. We are back on Lunchtime with Lynn. Our guest today is Dr. Michelle Albert. She is joining us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. She's the president of the Association of Black Cardiologists. We're focusing specifically on a story that kind of grew an interest over the last couple of days, looking at the disparities in the number of cases of African Americans across the country being diagnosed with the coronavirus versus society in general. And Dr. Albert, let me ask you this. So now we see these numbers, and we know of our being African Americans, history with cardiovascular disease, high blood pressures, asthmas. What do we do with this information now that we know that this disparity exists? What do we do with this?
So what we do is take care of ourselves. So the first thing is to ensure that you don't, if you're on medications that you're supposed to be taking for your blood pressure or for your heart failure or your asthma or your COPD, that you do not stop those medications, that you ensure that you are, you know, taking care of yourself in that way. You ensure that you are, your blood pressure is controlled, your cholesterol is controlled, you're managing your blood sugar, eating properly so that your blood sugar is managed, remaining active despite the social distancing, and not smoking. These are things that you need to continue doing because since we do not have a treatment for coronavirus at this point in time, and we know that, for example, cardiovascular conditions in particular increase your risk, it is important that we pay attention to the things that we know that we're supposed to pay attention to, in addition to the recommendations related to social distancing, to washing your hands for 20 seconds at least with soap, if soap is not available, using hand sanitizer, etc.
At the same time, how do we take advantage of this moment? Because I know that as the president of the Association of Black Cardiologists, you know that this disparity has existed. As a media person, I know that this disparity has existed. But now we've got the nation's attention. I mean, there's a big story out of Illinois today where two young African-American men were ejected from a Walmart because they had masks on, because they were told they can't wear them in Walmart, when we all know that it was recommended that they wear them. There are obstacles that we face that other people don't. So now that we've got the nation's attention, what do we do with it?
Right. So you're asking a very multi-layered question. The first part of the question relates to what causes health disparities. In part, what causes health disparities, besides the burden of disease processes, including majorly cardiovascular disease, relates to discrimination, access, socioeconomics. And what you're talking about there is discrimination. And so now that we have the country's attention, at least around this particular issue, we need to, at our state and federal levels, reinforce and be advocates against discrimination, ensuring that our populations are able to get the resources that we need to support education in our communities, to expand healthcare access in our communities, and we need to attack bias and discrimination at all corners of our society and all levels of our society, and say that it is not acceptable, and hold people accountable.
So when we hear people say our lives are on the line, in a lot of ways, that's literal.
Absolutely, it is literal. And unfortunately, we as individuals, as Black people, as well as at our local levels, have to, you know, continue to advocate for ourselves. And in order to advocate for ourselves, the first thing that we need to do is make sure we become educated about disease processes, coronavirus, cardiovascular disease, in order to know when to trigger to actually go seek help. For example, one of the things that is very confusing about coronavirus for many is that it can, you know, for those who are symptomatic, can appear like a cold. So understanding that, you know, high fevers and a cough, not so much a runny nose, but high fevers and a cough is something that you should seek, you know, medical attention for. And if you call your doctor's office and you're not able to get into your doctor's office, then, you know, go to urgent care, go to an emergency room. Do not sit at home, you know, sort of waiting for things to abate. Because one of the things that actually perpetuates disparities also in our community is the time at presentation or time to presentation with medical conditions. So waiting too late to present.
And I'm guessing, and this is probably not a fair question, but I wonder, is some of that cultural? Because I know, you know, and things like our outcomes sometimes are not as good with breast cancer and some other illnesses, because we do tend to wait. We do tend to wait. Is that cultural?
I am not going to put it into being cultural. I do think that cultural factors can affect disease course and when and why we present. However, I think largely what it generally affects outcomes are things like access to care, unemployment or underemployment, discrimination, and all of that has a cultural flavor to it, in that historically speaking, as you and the audience is aware, we have experienced lots of barriers, and the barriers to healthcare have engendered, in general, a distrust of our healthcare community. So, yes.
And last question before I let you go, and we appreciate the time you have given us today. Along those same lines, so often, if you have a bad experience with a doctor, then you get turned off about medical care. Keep going. Find that doctor that you trust, that you connect with, and don't get turned off because you had a bad experience.
I would concur with that. And I think also it's really important to get, you know, sort of peer help, meaning, you know, talk to your friends, talk to your family about, you know, sort of what resources that they might be aware of. I think there's a power in numbers. Oftentimes, when we have peer groups, including peer groups for physical activity, peer groups that exchange information with each other, we become more powerful because it is not just one voice advocating, then it's many voices.
Indeed. Doctor, we appreciate you so much. Lots of food for thought. We're going to put all this information on my Facebook page. I'm also going to give you a link to some information from the Association of Black Cardiologists. Thanks so much for joining us today. It has been a great experience. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Lynn. And I, again, wanted to say just go to abcardio.org is the ABC's website. And I will also give a plug for my institution, UCSF, that is doing an amazing job for the COVID pandemic. Thank you.
There you go. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.